Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. Pray for our time together this morning that God would open your heart and mind to the glorious truths, the comforting and consoling truths of the doctrines of grace, and that He would be glorified by our time spent together around the pages of His Word. Now, as you've gathered this morning, I want to pause and make a very brief announcement, a brief but important announcement, and that is a series of meetings that are to be held very shortly, in just a couple of weeks, with McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. Beginning on Friday night the 8th at 7 p.m., we will begin our annual meeting at McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. Elder Adam Green, together with other dear men, Elder Adam Green, who is from the Fort Smith, Arkansas area, he's been with us before. God has blessed him richly in his efforts. A precious young man in God's service, a very gentle and meek disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, but able minister of the Word, very faithful man, is going to travel with his family to be with us in service on the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th at McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. Go to our website at McClennyPBC.com. You'll find directions to our church. You'll find information about this meeting Friday night at 7, Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Lunch will follow the morning service on Saturday, and then we'll have an afternoon service. Also, at 6 o'clock, we will have a fish fry and a fellowship, and we would love to have you come and fellowship with us. We'll have a fish fry and a fellowship on Saturday night at 6 o'clock, and then Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. will be our final service of that series of meetings. Please be in prayer for that weekend and for those meetings, and God's dear men who will minister their gifts among us that weekend. The 8th, the 9th, and the 10th of June, just a couple of weeks away. We look forward to seeing you there. Bring somebody with you. We've all heard enough bad news, especially over the past, 5 to 10 years especially, in the United States of America, beginning at about 2008 and the collapse of our financial markets, and then the upheaval, political instability. We've heard enough bad news, it seems like, for a while. I know certainly as a pastor, my heart becomes burdened with all of the dark things that the folks that I pastor are exposed to, and God's people all across this globe. And so our heart has been recently to share things that are more consoling to the minds and hearts of God's people. I want to read to you a passage of Scripture, just one verse of Scripture, to be found in a very consoling chapter in God's Word. For those of you who are students of the Word, you know that Romans chapter 8 holds as much consolation for the child of God as any place we could turn to this morning in God's Word. One verse. Paul says in verse 18, based on what he's been saying previously, he says now, "For I reckon," that's an accounting term, "whenever I look at the books, when I look at the balance of the account, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Someone, you know, if you read that, you say, well, that's maybe written by a man who's a stranger to suffering. someone that's not acquainted with anything more than just maybe some mild irritations in life. Nothing could be further than the truth. I'm telling you, the sufferings of Paul rival those of Job. If you'll go back and carefully read that section of 2 Corinthians 11, where he catalogs some of his sufferings, it is overwhelming. I have read that section and wept. It's elicited tears, drawn tears from me, as I've read the sufferings of the noble apostle Paul. Those words that Paul wrote, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Those words were penned under the direction of the Holy Spirit and penned by one who had drank very deeply from sorrow's cup. Listen to what he says. He said, "Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one." That means each time that I was beaten by the Jews with a whip, five times he was beaten with a whip, a cat of nine tails, and he got 40 stripes, save one. That means he got 39 stripes each time he was beaten. He received 195 stripes on his back by a cat. His back would have just been a mass of scar tissue. He said, "Thrice I was beaten with rods." Now, that's not your granny's switch that she took a little keen switch. Big, thick rods, more akin to a baseball bat. Three times his face would have been beaten beyond recognition. Once he said he was stoned. They thought they'd done their job whenever they stoned him. They left him for dead. "Thrice I suffered shipwreck." You know, I've known folks that have gone on cruises, and I've asked them if they were going back, and they said, "No, sir. My father-in-law from Middle Georgia went once. There's not enough money in the middle of the ocean for you to get him on a ship to go out there to get it because of the ship ride that he had, that ship rocking back and forth." Paul suffered shipwreck once, twice, three times. He was willing to get back on ships for the sake of the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he'd been through terrible seas to the point that the ships were wrecked that it was on. He said, "A day and a night have I been in the deep, in journeyings often." He didn't sit in the calm and peaceful recline of his home. He journeyed in the kingdom of God. He said he was in perils of robbers constantly, in perils of mine own countrymen. That is, the Jews were always seeking to kill him. He said he was in perils of the heathen. Everyone that wasn't Jews, wherever he went, they were seeking to kill him because of the gospel. He was in perils in the city. There are certain perils that belong to big cities. And that's why folks like myself from the country try to stay out of them if I can. And then he said he was in perils of the wilderness, the wild animals that roamed freely back then. He was exposed to them. He said he was in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren. He knew what betrayal was. He was in weariness and painfulness, in watchings, that is, intense situations, always on the lookout, in hunger, and in thirst. When is the last time you had to do without food? When's the last time you had to do without something to drink? Paul did it all the time, in fastings often, in cold, and in nakedness. And then Paul says, "I reckon that all these sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory which is going to be revealed in us." That was his conviction. And that's not the conviction of one of fortune's favorites. It's not the conviction of one who found life's journey on flowery beds of ease or a carpeted pathway. Instead, it was someone who was hated by his own kinsmen, beaten black and blue, who only knew what it was to be deprived, not only of the comforts of life, as you and I have, but the bare necessities of life. And yet, he writes one of the scriptures that is the fullest and most replete of optimism. What was his secret for optimism in the midst of all those trial and troubles? The first thing with that the Apostle Paul comforted himself was the fact that his sufferings were just of a very brief duration. He said they're limited to this time. And that's in a sharp contrast from the sufferings of those who are not the Lord's people. Our sufferings, the sufferings of a child of God, are limited to our very brief stay in this world. And if the scripture is abundantly clear on anything, it's the brevity of life. Compared to eternity, our time in this world is just a dot on an infinite timeline. And our sufferings are limited to time. But let me say this, the sufferings of those who are not the Lord's people are eternal. They're just getting started. They're going to be forever tormented in the lake of fire. But thank God it's far different for the believer. Our sufferings are restricted to our life on this earth. We're compared to a flower that comes forth and is cut down. Those beautiful flowers in Brother Jimmy Connor's garden at his home that he loves to go out and tend and look at. But he has to stay busy to grow more, because just as soon as he looks at the glory and the beauty of one flower, it begins to fade within days. And he has to look to the glory and beauty of another flower. Whereas a shadow that fleeth and continue not, flowers that fade very quickly, just a few short years at the most. It seems like just yesterday that I was a young preacher. And we're going to pass away from this veil of tears, just like a weaver's shuttle going from one side of the loom to the other. But thank God we're going to that blissful country where groans and sighs are never heard again. So our sufferings are limited to just this very brief time world in which we live. But the apostle also looked forward with the eye of faith to the glory. Let me say this. To the apostle Paul, glory was something more than just pie in the sky or the opiate of the masses or a beautiful dream. It was a practical reality to him. And the reality of future glory exerted an incredibly powerful influence on him, and it consoled him and warmed him in the most trying hours of adversity. And that's one of the real tests of your faith, friends. The child of God has solid support in the time of affliction, and those who are not the Lord's people, the unbeliever doesn't. The child of God knows that in his Father's presence, the psalmist David said, there's fullness of joy. And that his right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. And our faith should lay hold of them and appropriate those truths for practical, godly strength today. And we can live in the comforting cheer of them right now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy heaven. It can be a strength and a comfort to us right now. Just as the Israelites were encouraged by the sight of what awaited them in the promised land over Numbers chapter 13. So the child of God who walks by faith today and not by sight, we contemplate, we see that which is awaiting us. We see that beautiful land, that better country, that heavenly country whose maker and builder is God, which no natural eye has seen and the natural ear can't hear. And the natural heart can't discern or understand. But God reveals them to us, reveals the truth of heaven to us. And the glory is just a heartbeat away, that we close our eyes in this world and open them up in that glory world to come that's more real than the world we're living in today, because it's going to last eternally. And this world's going to be used up and dissipate and go away. And then the apostle rejoiced in the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's not just glory waiting on us, but glory is going to be revealed in us. And let me say everything that that means. Glory that's going to be revealed in us. Now, we're going to glory where heaven is. But glory is going to be revealed in us when we get to glory. We're going to glory and we're going to be full of glory. We won't be able to understand all that that means until we get there, but we're given a hint of it. There will be the glory of a perfect body in that day. This corruption shall have put on incorruption. This mortal shall have put on immortality. That which is sown in dishonor in this world is going to be raised in glory. It's going to be revealed in us in the morning of the resurrection in a special way. That which was sown in weakness is going to be raised in power. And so Paul said, as we've borne the image of the earthy, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly. And that's glory, my friends. And the content of that is summarized. And I love it. Paul says, for our conversation, he says this to the Philippians, our conversation is heaven, is in heaven. That means our life is in heaven today. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it might be fashioned like and unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things even unto himself. Our vile bodies, why are they vile today? Now, some of them naturally look better than others. And everybody's looks better than mine. Mine's getting old and weathered. But every one of our, the person in this world that has the most natural comeliness still possesses a vile body. Why is that? Because it's got sin. It has sin in it. It's filled with sin. But Paul says there's coming a day that the Lord is going to change our vile bodies. In the resurrection, sin is going to be extricated and our bodies are going to be glorified, likened unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, not only is our body going to be glorified, but there's the glory of a transformed mind. God's transforming our minds to glory. Paul said that we see through a glass darkly, but then when we get to glory, we're going to see face to face. He said, now I know in part. But then he said, I'm going to know even as I am known. Oh, my friends, how wonderful is the thought. It's going to be great glory. You think about that. Our minds are going to be glorified. We'll have the understanding of everything that we've ever wondered about. Incredible illumination. All mysteries will be unraveled. All problems will be solved. All those discrepancies that bother us are going to be reconciled one day as our mind is glorified. Each truth of God's revelation, every single event in the mystery of His providence is going to be unraveled. All of those decisions that God has made, they're going to be transparently clear for us in that great day. Isn't that amazing, friends? Glorified bodies, glorified minds. It's incredible. Let me say this. I'm becoming afraid of my memory. I can't remember the names of people at times that I've known for years. And I go and I'm like the old brother said, that the older he gets, the more concerned he is about the hereafter. He said every time he walks in from one room into another room, he always forgets what he came in hereafter. So not only as we get older do we think about the great hereafter, but we forget what we came in hereafter. I mean, my mind is frightening me at times. I mourn the darkness of my mind, not just from a memory standpoint, but the spiritual knowledge that I lack, that I wish I had, the limitation of my faculties to be able to plumb the depths of God's Word. But thank God there's coming a day in which I'm going to, like some spiritual sailor, be able to sound the majestic depths of God's infinite wisdom when all of our intellectual powers will be renewed and developed and perfected, so that then we shall know, even as God knows us now, which is perfectly, fully, and completely. Oh, won't that be glory? Best of all, my friends, there's going to be the glory of perfect holiness with God. God's work of grace in us will then be complete. We won't have to worry about sin anymore. The psalmist David says that God will perfect that which concerneth us. We have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is your ultimate destiny. The word predestinate comes from the Greek word prohorizo. Pro means before. Horizo is where we get our word horizon from. Horizon. Before the horizon. And that is this. What Paul is saying, that before the horizon of time, God had determined that He was going to conform you, body, He's going to conform you in your mind to the perfect image of the Son of God, so that we shall be just like Him, no more sin. Our minds will no longer be defiled by evil imagination. Our consciences are not going to be full of guilt anymore. Thank God. Our affections are not going to be ensnared by the filthy objects of this world. What a glorious prospect that is. A glory that's going to be revealed in me. And let me tell you, I can just take a little bit of it now. I'm getting a good meeting and taste a little bit of the glory of God, and I'm telling you, I'm not worth anything after that for the rest of the day. Oh, I'm just drinking from a little stream then. I'm just getting a little taste from one of the streams from the glory of God that makes glad the city of God. What will it be like whenever I go to the head of the fountain and drink glory in from the river of life that's flowing out from underneath the throne of God? Glory, my friends, that's going to be revealed in us. No wonder Paul said, the sufferings of this present world aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us one day. Thank God. If I'm a child of light, because I'm in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the full glory of God is going to dwell in me. Sin cannot be there. And so, finally, the Apostle Paul, in the time that we have left, has weighed the sufferings of this present time over against the glory that's going to be revealed in us. And he said, the one is not worthy to be compared with the other. Sufferings of this time world that you and I experience are not worthy to be compared with glory that's coming. One is transient, temporary, and the other is eternal. Sufferings are temporary. Night doesn't last always. David said, joy cometh in the morning, and morning is coming. Glory is coming. Just as glorious as when the eastern sun arises after a dark, dark night. No, there's no proportion between finite and infinite. There's no comparison between the sufferings of this earth and the glory of heaven. No, we can't compare the two. How can we compare these years of toil and sickness, the poverty that God's people have experienced, or sorrow in any other form, when compared with the glory of Emmanuel's land? Ah, just one drink from the river of life, one breath in paradise, just one moment at the blood-washed throne, and that'll more than compensate for all of your briny tears, precious child of God. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Listen, beloved, You're going to have problems this week. Just before I began the broadcast, I received a phone call from a dear young man whose family I've known for over 40 years. He couldn't speak as he tried to get the words out that the Lord was calling his mama home. He's had her for 57 years, but his heart was breaking and he could barely talk to me as he was trying to tell me what he was experiencing. And I could feel the weight and the heaviness of that dear man's heart as he could feel the tender ties of nature being severed. But thank God I had a sweet message that I could share with him, is that your mama's about to see glory. She's about to be in glory. And glory is about to be in her. And because of that, let your sorrow and sighing be turned into joy and laughter. And his weeping literally turned into laughter. He began to laugh with exhilaration, the joy of the Holy Spirit, as he and I talked about what his mama was going to see the first moment that she opened her eyes in heaven. What a Christian's hope and glory. What would you trade for that? I know you've got problems ahead of you. I know you've got difficulties coming this week. But let me ask you this. Would you trade a good day every day for the rest of your life for the glory that's going to be revealed in you one day? Would you give away this temporary, transient experience for eternity of joy unspeakable and full of glory? Not for one moment. Let that truth make an impact on you in the days and weeks ahead. Let it be a lamp in this dark, dark world in which we live. And as we receive glory and we see glory, to God be the glory. May the Lord bless you and keep you all, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all, is our prayer.